Luke chapter 11, if you would, please. This is, you say, how is it possible to speak 15 consecutive weeks on prayer? Well, you haven't been listening to my messages because you know I can actually take like a half of a verse and preach for 3 weeks on it. But there's much to be discussed, okay? But so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd verses. Because of my state of being, and I'll let you read the even verses because you're so wonderful and even people. You get to read the even verses out loud with me. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. As we continue to study this thing of prayer, here in Luke chapter 11, we see our Savior giving the right example. Of course, what do you expect, right? You don't expect anything better than that or anything different than that from Christ. He was praying in a certain place. And so you understand that the disciples had been with Christ, they knew Jesus, they were living with him and going with him from place to place, seeing the miracles, seeing the way he dealt with people, but also seeing how he dealt with God the Father, how he prayed, how he behaved himself in this thing of prayer. And so as he prays here and he ceases to pray, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So we've already talked about prayer in general out of Philippians chapter 4. We've talked about the preparation for prayer, right? To stand fast in the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, to trust in the Lord. And then in verse 9 or 8 and 9, we talked about how he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So we talked about what prayer was, the solemn address to the Supreme Being. We talked about the other thing called, I just lost my word here, supplication, that's what it is. We talked about what supplication was, and that kind of a more in-depth prayer of begging God or pleading with God, desiring something of the Lord, that's supplication, with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving was rendering thanks that is due for good received. And so, obviously, have we received good from the Lord? Absolutely. Without question, we all have. And if you don't think so, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it a while. And I guess you'll come up with a few things, I think. No, I know you will. But we offer that to God. And he says, then he says to let your requests be made known unto him. And you understand that our requests are when we're in the flesh, our own desires. But when we're in the spirit,
They're the things that He wants in our lives. That's why we can say, not my will, but thine be done. When we give ourselves over unto Jesus Christ and completely, then His desires become our desires. And His wants become our wants. And His way of thinking becomes our way of thinking. And that's how it happens in us through prayer. We talked about the these things, right? Think on these things. We talked about the think, and then we talked about the those things that Paul said that you have seen and heard and learned of me. And he said, do those things. We talked about that for several weeks. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the place of prayer. When Jesus here in his example was praying in a certain place. I hope that you've carved out that certain place in your life to meet with your God. And I'm telling you, if you do, it's going to be special. You're going to understand that once you have that certain place. When we understand that this thing of prayer is important, then that certain place becomes important. And that time with God becomes important. We have that place of prayer, that specific, solitary, and special place with our God. And then last week, we talked about the passion of prayer. When Jesus, in His passion, if you will, as we talked about the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and His attitude as far as prayer was concerned and talking to God. Listen, we've got to have that feeling in our being, in our that sensible effect of impression, that excitement, that desire, that fear, that hope, the joy, the grief, the love, the hate. All that should be involved with our prayer. Prayer is not just a mechanical thing. It's a very important, real thing. It should be expressive. It should be full of who and what we are, if you will, as far as it concerns with us talking to our God. It should be real. Okay? It's not just good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. All right? And certainly it's not just something you recite. There are some churches that have prayer books. And these are pre-written prayers that they just read. Can I tell you something? Well, maybe I do mean offense to them. That's not prayer. I was going to say no offense to them, but I'm not sure I mind offending them. No, I don't mind. that's not prayer. I mean, you might as well just read a poem to God. Prayer is between you and God. In Jesus' example, He didn't just pray some mechanical thing. He was talking to His Heavenly Father. He was talking to God the Father. It meant something. It was of value to Him. He put His whole self into it. And I think I posed the question, when was it the last time that you sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in prayer? Because that's how full Christ's prayer was in the garden. And by the way, that's the real Lord's Prayer. Please understand that. These model prayers that we're going to go over today and begin to go over today, I should say. I don't want to say we're going to go over them completely today because that would be a lie. And I don't want to lie to you. In chapter 11 of Luke and in chapter 6 of Matthew, we are given a model prayer. Okay? Don't follow mainstream religion and call it the Lord's Prayer. Okay? I refuse to call this the Lord's Prayer. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer. Go to Matthew chapter 6 with me, if you would, please. As you turn there, I'm going to read to you Luke 11, verse 2. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And there in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 5. He says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are,
For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Everybody pay attention to that. Thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Remember the prophets of Baal that Elijah dealt with, right? And they're up there and they're, oh, hey, speak louder, because, you know, he's on vacation. He's gone on a journey. And the vain repetitions. Nobody's going to hear them. Nobody's going to notice them. It's not the mechanical prayer. Just throw the prayer book away. There's no prayer book. We ought to pray from us to Him. It's our solemn address to Him, our supreme being. He's thy Father. And as we continue on here, he says this, but vain repetition, where to go? I stopped there. I should have put my finger down. There it is. As the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for the much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father. So we have thy Father, your Father, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. So as we begin to talk about these elements of prayer, because when you have a model of something, you have a design, a blueprint, that blueprint contains different elements, different things that we need to pay attention to. All right? Can I tell you something? Christ wants us to be effective in prayer. The Apostle Paul wanted those beloved people to be effective in prayer. And so, yes, we need to make the preparations for prayer. We need to know what prayer is. We need to know what supplication is. We need to know what thanksgiving is. We need to know what it really means to make our requests known to God. We need to know about the place of prayer. We need to know about the passion of prayer. We need to think on these things. We need to consider and do those things. All of this that we've talked about for the last 14 weeks now, 15 weeks about prayer, all have to be put together because we need to learn how to pray. More than any other time in history, folks, we need to learn how to pray. Did you notice that the day of the Lord is coming soon? Okay, I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or your lifetime, but I know it's a lot sooner than it was to Peter and to Paul and to James and to John. By about the space of almost 2,000 years, okay? We're closer than they were. I could tell you that in a fact, okay? You say, well, that's a pretty ambiguous fact. I don't care if it's ambiguous. It's what God has given us. We're closer than they were. And it's coming, folks. Can I tell you from a Bible prophecy standpoint, everything has been fulfilled for Christ to return. It's all done. So what are we waiting for? God. We're waiting for God. How should we wait? Yes, patiently. But it doesn't mean just sit back and just say, well, you know, it'll happen when it happens. No, I mean, we ought to be on the edge of our seat, ready for it to come. I mean, we ought to be continued. And you know what? You ought to pray every day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. We ought to be ready. We ought to have that kind of connection with God, if you will. We ought to have that kind of communion with God. We ought to have that kind of relationship with God in our prayer. I want you to take a look at, you're there in Matthew, so stay there. He says, thy Father, your Father. And then he says, pray ye our Father. In Luke chapter 11, he says, when ye pray, say, our Father. This is the first element of prayer. We need to recognize God for who He is.
So many times today, God is just a carelessly cast about name. And I don't even necessarily mean in vain, like cussing, which is totally wrong. Never should be done. We talked about the Ten Commandments here, right? We've already preached about that. You say, I haven't heard that one. Go on our YouTube, or our Facebook channel and page and scroll down. You'll find it, okay? But here's the thing. Just amongst Christians, I don't believe the name of God is reverenced like it should be. We really need to acknowledge God for who He is. We've become a little bit cavalier, a little bit careless about our relationship with God. You know, as a parent and as a teacher and as an educator and even as a pastor, listen, relationships should have boundaries. You understand that, right? I am the father of 12, almost 13 children. Now, technically, I am the father of 13 children. Greta will be with us in about 3 weeks or so. So pray for Mrs. Combs. If you didn't know, by the way, we decided to name her Greta Louise. That's going to be her name. And that will be our, sorry, dear. I'll include you in this. That will be our 10th girl. Yeah. Yeah. That. And when people said, oh, do you know what it is? Yes. Another girl is what it is. Another girl. But as I deal with my children, I am not looking to be my child's friend. Okay, that's a mistake that our society has made today. Do you know that in the child-parent relationship, I'm not trying to be their buddy. I need to be their father. And there needs to be that reverence. I remember as a kid, I wasn't a kid. I guess I was an adult. I had left home, and I remember a time I came back. I was on leave, and I was helping my dad put some sheetrock up in the garage. Remember that, Dad? And we were putting sheetrock up in the garage, and my little brother, of course, he's still my little brother, but he's 6'2", about 300 pounds. As you can tell, I'm not that framework. But he's still my little brother. But at that time, he was still little. He was probably about 13. That made me about 19. We're 6 years apart. But I remember this. And I remember that we were putting up sheetrock. And he called to my dad. And he called him by his first name. And I tell you what. That just fried my bacon. Because I never called my dad by his first name. And so I let him have it. Because, you know, I was 19 and he was 13. He wasn't 6'2 and 300 pounds at that time. Okay? And I could do that. But you know what? That's not right. Nor is it right to treat God carelessly. He's our heavenly Father. He's not the man upstairs. He's not your buddy. He's God. And when we approach the throne of God, folks, I'm telling you, listen. He's God. He's on the throne. He is the one. Almighty God. Everlasting Father. That's God. And listen, when you come into the throne room of a king, you better not walk in with a chip on your shoulder or you'll leave without a head on your shoulder. Because he's to be reverenced and adored and loved and recognized for who he is. We ought to be in the right position. Abraham, we read about this morning, fell on his face before God as God came and appeared and talked to him. But we'll just casually pray and we won't even go down to our knees in prayer. This element of prayer, Jesus says it both in Matthew and in Luke, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Isaiah 63, the prophet says, Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our Father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Is that your attitude toward God? Thy Father, your Father, our Father? In chapter 64, Isaiah says, Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence! Exclamation point. What was it, Brother Losey? 300 and some? Yeah, that's what he told me. He actually looked it up. I knew he would. But you know, you ought to get on those exclamation points in the Bible. That's pretty exciting. Isaiah uses an exclamation point there. He says, When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him, that thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are as all an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, and that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter. We are all the work of thy hand. When we pray, if we'll begin as Christ admonishes us to begin, and to really take the time, not even just to say our Father, not just to say dear Heavenly Father, but to really feel our Father, to really recognize Him as the Father. There have been times where my kids don't recognize me as the Father. And guess what I stop and do? You know me better than that. I stop and make them recognize me as the Father before we go a step further. Why? That's important. Because one day they're going to have a boss. And if they don't, as an employee, if they don't recognize the boss as the boss, guess what they're not going to have? A job. It's important. They're going to recognize me as the Father, not because they want to, because they have to, because I am the Father. They can't change that. Can I tell you something? There's nothing you can do about it. He's your Heavenly Father. You can't change it. Give Him the respect that's due Him. He is the Father. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 12 and through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. How many of you have been confused by this phrase that is said here in Romans, that Jesus said in Mark 14 when he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And when Paul said in Galatians that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. How many of you have ever pondered that phrase? Abba, Father. Good, good. Some of you have. Okay. Did you know that literally the word Abba is Father? Why would it say in the scripture, Father, Father? And why wouldn't the translators then translate it, Father, Father? Well, Abba does mean Father. But it's left the word Abba to give the sense of the importance of it. The sense of the word Abba is as a child responding to its father. In reverence and obedience. The word Abba is left there as Abba to give the sense that we're going to reverence and adore and obey our Father. When you call on God, do you have the motive of adoration and the motive of obedience to your Father? In other words, it gives us the sense of how we call out to God, our Father. Think about that. When you go to prayer and you say, our Father, which art in heaven, or Heavenly Father, are you saying it with the heart and the motivation and the sense that you're willing to do whatever he says, to follow whatever he wills, to love him supremely and completely as your Father? That's what it means to cry, Abba, Father. Don't answer this in a physical response, but answer it in your mind. Have you called upon God like that? Or is dear Heavenly Father or our Father just something you say? Like when we shake someone's hand. How you doing today? Most of the time, we really don't mean that. Because when they begin to describe how they're doing today, we're like, oh boy. I shouldn't have said that. No. No. Do you really have that sense? That intimacy, that relationship, that adoration, that sense of obedience, that I'm the child, he's the father, I'm the servant, he's the master, I'm the little, he's the big. That's what it means to cry out, Abba, Father. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, in Mark 14, we know that as he went forward a little, and we talked about this passion last week about Christ, he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. You know, this word Abba is only given in our King James Bible 3 times. Romans, Mark, and Galatians, that's it. Why? Why did they leave it that way? Because that sense of going to God in prayer is so important to prayer. It's a critical element to recognize God as our Father. He says, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Christ said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. Galatians, Paul said, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, Pastor, how in the world can you take an entire sermon and just talk about this one little phrase because it's such an important little phrase? To cry out to God and say, our Father or my Father, or to say, God, most heavenly Father, or however you want to call him, we've got to recognize him. And with the heart and with the spirit and with the mind that we are going to be, we're going to be close to him. We're going to draw nigh to him. We're going to love him as a child loves and reverences his father, willing to obey and to do whatever he says. Complete submission. That's how we should begin prayer. Let me tell you something. If we don't begin prayer like that, you're praying wrong. You're praying wrong. See, but I've been praying like that for all my life. Then you've been praying wrong all your life. We've got to gain the sense that God is my Father. He's your Father. He's our Father. And we are his sons. Oh, to be a son of God. What a great thing. Who's excited about it? Anybody excited about being a child of the King? Anybody excited about being a God's child and having God as your Father? You should. I've had to put my boys in line a few times saying, look, I know you may not like me as a father, but I'm the only father you got. And I tell them the truth. I'm probably better than most fathers in this world. And I don't mean that by pride. Have you looked at our society today? And what fathers are like out there? Not good. Why do you think we're in the mess we're in as a society? And I've had to tell them sometimes, look, go live with somebody else and see how good of a father they are. Then come back to me and maybe you'll understand. Anybody ever had those difficult conversations with your sons? Can I tell you something? You're not going to get a better father than him. Well, you might be dissatisfied with how he does things sometimes. You may not like his timetable because you're not getting what you want when you want it. But can I tell you something? He's the best father you could ever have. He knows what's best. He is what's best in our life. And when we come to him, and we're out of time today, but and I only got through one point of my introduction. But if I can get you to go home and to actually think about when you kneel down by your bed or you kneel down in your prayer closet and you call out to your Father, which is in secret, and when you cry out, Abba, Father, if I can get you to think about those two words, our Father, or Heavenly Father, or my Father, then I've succeeded. If you can put some thought and some passion and some heart into those words as you approach the Supreme Being with your solemn address, with your prayer, and your requests, then it's been a success. Peter says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Doesn't he deserve to be called our Father? Doesn't he deserve to be cried out to as Abba, Father? As the one that I adore? As the one that I reverence? As the one that I will obey? Later on in that chapter in 1 Peter, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, I hope you do. Can I just say this? God hopes you do too. He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, that's little f fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Ladies and gentlemen, God is deserving of the title, Our Father, Thy Father, Your Father, and as Christ said, My Father. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not, he's your father. You're his child. Will you cry out, Abba, Father? Will you approach his throne, my Father, Heavenly Father, our Father? Because that's how prayer begins.